하지만
سورة الفاتحة حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لئن شكرتم لازيدنكم صلوات على محمد وآل محمد When an intelligent and wise father wants to buy a gift for his young son, then when he wants to buy this gift, before he buys it, he looks at his son and he sees his capabilities and sees what gift will he best take advantage of and use of. And whatever best he is able to take advantage of, you see that he will buy that gift. This is a sign of his wisdom, that he doesn't get him something he cannot use. This is a sign of his wisdom that he doesn't get something that he's incapable of using. If a son is 3 years old, he doesn't get him a laptop and says that I can afford it, I am rich, and so here's a laptop, destroy it. The reason is because it will go against his wisdom to do that. It won't make sense for him to give a gift that he cannot use at that time. He will see his abilities, he will see what is it in him that he can use, and that is what he's going to give him. Now let's say he has a son who's 10 years old and he asks his son, what gift do you want for your birthday? Son says, Dad, I want a Lamborghini. Not Matchbox, he wants the Lamborghini. Now, being a kind and generous father, he says, all right, that's something that you want. But tell me, what will you do with your Lamborghini? He says that I will use the hubcaps to play frisbee with. I'll use the hubcaps to play frisbee with. You say, but I'll just buy you a frisbee. What sense does it make for me to spend $100,000 on a car so you can play frisbee with its hubcaps? right? If I get you this gift, you're unable to use it the way it should be used, the way it deserves to be used. If you're going to play frisbee with this gift, it means that you are not using the gift to the ability or to the level that it should be used. So now, he does not give that gift. This person, this son who's asking for that gift, is incapable of using that. If I give you this gift, it's a blessing. If you get this blessing, but you're incapable of using it, so it wouldn't be wise on my part to give it. When someone is incapable of using a blessing, then it is deserving that he should not get it. When you do not know how to use the blessing the way it should be used, then it's right that that person is not deserving of that blessing. And it's only wise on Allah's part not to give him that blessing. Because he's incapable of using it the way it's supposed to be used. My friends, this is many times, you see, a lot of times we want things. And then we see that we don't get those things. It's not because Allah cannot give us, that He's not generous enough. But He knows that if He gives those gifts, you will not be capable of using it. You will play frisbee with a Lamborghini. That's the example. If you look at the example, then you see ourselves, and you see that we, when we want a blessing, we don't use the blessing the way it's supposed to be used. We are incapable of using it. That's why you see that we don't get them. And when we do deserve a blessing, then there's nothing that stops Allah from giving it, from making us reach it. When we know how to use it, when we know how to take advantage of it. Because if that is what we want and we are ready to take advantage of it, then Allah will give it. You see? And when Allah does give a blessing and we take advantage of that blessing, then you see that Allah will increase that blessing. He says, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you give thanks, then Allah will increase your blessings. If you give thanks, then Allah will increase your blessing. Giving thanks, this shukr, giving thanks, appreciating Allah's blessing, means that you're using it in the way that it's supposed to be used. That you're using the blessing in the way that it's supposed to be used. When you use it in the way that it's supposed to be used, then Allah increases the blessings. Because He sees you're capable of handling it. You see? You're capable of handling it. That's why you see, if blessings do not come to us, even though we're asking for it, it's we who are incapable of using it. And from here you understand that the blessing that we are all waiting for and we are all making dua for, that greatest blessing, who is the Imam of our time, is not coming to us, not because Allah doesn't want to send him, it's because we are unable or incapable of treating him the way he's supposed to be treated. We are incapable of that. This is the reason why the blessings come and the blessings go. You know, just an introduction I will give, a certain principle, certain rule that will be helpful in our lives also. to understand this subject. Send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, a lot of times when we look at things and our ideology about things is not in the best opinion of that thing, it's in fact in the least a part of opinion we can have about that thing. The way we approach things, most of the times you'll see we're not looking at it in the best possible manner, we are looking at it in the least possible manner that we should look at things. You know, I've heard this many times, you know, that, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, you have these weekly gatherings and all the youths, they come over here and it's good. It's good that they all come here. And the reason, you know, I said, yes, it is good that they come here. And you say, well, you know, it's very good that they come here because at least they're not going to clubs. Right? At least they're not going to clubs, that's why they come here. What? You know, at least these kids are not taking drugs, you know, because they're here. You know, so, wait a minute. So the objective of coming here is to stay away from drugs. Right? Is to stay away from clubs. You see, how we look at things. The least possible manner. Right? You look at things. At least, you know, they're staying away from this. I mean, this is not the objective for which this was made. You see, this is not the objective for which this was made. The objective is much higher than that. The objective is much higher than that. And here, we look at it in the least possible manner. The lowest gaze that we can put on it. Right? We put on things. And we do that in everything. For example, I say, you know, I mean, alhamdulillah, you know, my kids pray. They make salat. You know, that keeps them away from drugs. So, is the purpose of salat keeping you away from drugs? Right? You see, Allah, you know, Islam didn't come to keep people away from drugs. Islam didn't come to keep people away from clubs. Islam has a much higher objective and a standard. It has a much higher standard. We have lowered it so much that now it's for this. Now it's for this. The way we look at things, this is what it's used for. And you see, this is why those who look at things in the lowest possible manner, when they look at things, it's just like that. Allah said, "As-salat tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." A prayer is keep you away from evil, from drugs, from clubs and all these things. Prayers, Allah is saying that one of the wisdom of prayers is that it does keep you away from evil things. If you pray, then it keeps you away from evil things. And if you're doing evil while still praying, then either the prayer is wrong or there's something else wrong. But it has to be the prayer. Because Allah is saying that salat forbids you from evil things. So if you're still doing evil while praying, then it means that prayer is not prayer. And the reason it's not helping you is because you're doing it for that. Right? Understand what I'm saying? Because you are doing it for such a low goal, that's why it's not helping you. Allah, I'm praying just to keep away from clubs. I mean, did you ever make that intention while you pray? You know? That I'm praying dhuhr? To seek nearness or to stay away from clubs? You see, the goal of prayer is not to keep you away from clubs and all that. Right? That's not the goal of prayers. The goal of prayers is what? You see, at the lowest level, it keeps you away from prayer. At the highest level, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. Salat is the ascension of a believer that makes him reach Allah. You see the goal, where the goal is. The goal of salat is that we have made it so low. The alhamdulillah, the youth, they come to the masjid, at least they stay away from that. Oh, what's that for? That's not the goal. The goal should be so high that these things shouldn't even matter. Shouldn't even come into your mind. Right? And that's why we see that Islam, and many people here, they take Islam at its lowest possible manner. They look at it in the lowest possible manner instead of looking at the goals that it set for you. And trying to reach those higher goals. And if you do that, then you'll see that this will be, so easy. But because we're doing it for this, this is a mountain for us. At times we have to decide to read prayers or sin. Why is this decision? Because that prayer is not prayer. If you pray to gain nearness to Allah, then sins won't even enter your mind. Disobedience won't even enter your mind. We have taken Islam at the lowest possible value. In so many ways. And you see that. We don't use it the way it should be used. Not doing it. Let me give you another example. You send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, Allah speaks about some people who were analyzing the heavens and the earth. And they knew that Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And they said that Allah, you did not create the earth and the heavens in vain. And I want you to see this ayat. Every time we read these ayat, you know, if you're reading the Quran, you haven't made the heavens and the earth in vain. Okay? You see, Allah is mentioning in the ayats that He didn't make it, He did not create it in vain. He did not create it batila, in vain, for nothing. Allah did not mention what He made it for. You see, He mentioned that it's not made in vain. But He didn't say what for. Okay, Allah, what is it made for? You see, what is it made for? And the reason, my friends, understand this. The goal of Allah's creation is so high, it cannot be put in words.
Ya Allah. Ya Allah.
It cannot be put in words. That's why there's no mention of it. The lowest thing is mentioned, it's not made in vain. But what is it made for? It's made for something so high that it cannot be put in language that you have made.
Yeah.
It can't be put in that. Such a high goal Allah has set. And our goal is so little. Right? Now let me make you understand this. You know, we are all waiting for the Imam of the time, the Yusuf of Zahra, the Savior of mankind, the fulfiller of Allah's promise, Muhammad al-Bahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When you look at the Mahdi, what is your view of him? What is your view of him? And I want you to see this. What is your view of Muhammad? That he's going to come. What's he coming for? Oh, he's going to come so that he can establish justice. He can establish justice when there is dhulm. There's oppression, and he's going to get rid of the oppression, and he's going to establish justice. So your view of the Imam of the time is that he's going to come and kill the bad guys for you who are bothering you. To do what? Right? So you can hang out? in peace? Right now we hang out in trouble, now we'll hang out in peace? But really, I mean, what is your view of the reappearance of the Imam? When he comes back, what's he going to do? Right, he's going to come back and, okay, you know, he's going to get rid of all the bad guys, and there'll be justice established. And in that system of justice, what are you going to do? I'll be happy, you know, justice. Now I can do what I want. You see, again, so our view of the Imam, the reappearance of the Imam, the mission of the Imam is so low that that's all we are thinking. This is it. This is the low point. Right? And my friends, the mission is much higher than that. You know, the mission is much higher than that. Okay, you know, I'll give you another example so that you understand it better now. We are mu'min, we practice Islam, and we obey Allah, and the intention is that Allah, with His grace and mercy, will send us to heaven, and inshallah, we will all get there by the grace of Allah. Now when we all get there, we're having this like majlis here, and we are making dua, and inshallah, may Allah help us to meet in heaven like we are meeting here. Each other. Right? So now when we get to heaven and everything is done, now what? What do we do? Right? Okay, everything is finished, alhamdulillah, we reached heaven. Now what do? I can have more wives? Right? I can eat more chicken. I can drink wine. I mean, what is your goal? When you get there, I mean, for a mu'min, what is it? What's going to be there for him? You see, understand the goal, my friends. Understand what the goal is. When you reach there, why are you reaching there? For what? What is the reason? You get to heaven. Alhamdulillah, there'll be pleasures. The only reason that here, yes, there are two things wrong with the pleasures here. Right? There are two things wrong. They're not as intense and they're not as long lasting. So our goal is to have much more intense pleasure and a much more long lasting pleasure. I mean, my friends, understand this. Is that the goal? Is that the goal? You see, Allah mentions again, I want you to keep that in mind. As-salatu tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Prayer forbids you from evil. That is one of the things related to prayer. That's not the goal of prayer. You know, more pleasure, long lasting pleasure are things related to Jannat, but that's not the goal of Jannat. So what is the goal? What do we really want? What does a mu'min really want? Understand, this is, if I have reached you to this point, if I made you reach this point, now let me give you an answer that Allah has given us so we understand it a little bit better. My friend, send me a salawat. You know, Allah has asked us to remember Him in certain ways. Certain dhikr we do of Allah. Right? Certain dhikr that we do of Allah. As a Muslim, we are told to repeat this dhikr as much as we can, wherever we are able to. Right? The first dhikr is called tahleel. Tahleel. Tahleel means saying La ilaha illallah. This is called tahleel. Another zikr is called takbir. Takbir means saying Allahu Akbar. And there's a third zikr that's called Tasbih. Tasbih means saying Subhanallah. Right? Subhanallah. Tahleel, La ilaha illallah, is a dhikr that is called Dhikrul Ali. Dhikrul Ali. Dhikrul Ali means it is a dhikr that is a tool, a means to reach an objective. Meaning it is not the means itself, it is a means to reach an objective. Dhikr-e-Takbir, Allahu Akbar, is also Dhikr-e-Ali. It is a means, an instrument to reach an objective. Tahleel makes you reach perfection in ideology. Takbir makes you reach perfection in your character. Right? The ideology that a man should have, that a person should have, is perfected when you reach tahleel. That tahleel, La ilaha illallah, is used. And takbir is a, what do you call a tarbiyati dhikr? It is to raise our character, to improve our character. That's why Allahu Akbar is repeated more than La ilaha illallah. Because we need more of that to improve our character. You see, it is has the objective. Now, my friends, Subhanallah is different. Subhanallah is not a dhikr that is to gain or to that is a means to something else. Subhanallah is a dhikr that is the objective in itself. Subhanallah is the dhikr, is a remembrance of Allah, which is the goal in itself. Meaning, all of Islam is being used so that we can do Subhanallah. When the angels disputed with Allah, why are you making Adam the Khalifa? Why are you making Adam the Khalifa? So they, in their argument as to why he shouldn't, gave forward an argument, hey listen, we're already doing your tasbih and doing Subhanallah. Why are you making him while we are doing your Subhanallah? So in other words, Subhanallah was the objective of Allah's, that Allah has created man for. Subhanallah is the objective. You see? This is the objective. That's why Allah says that yusabbihu lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. Everything in the heavens and the earth is doing tasbih, is doing Subhanallah. The member is doing Subhanallah. The door is doing Subhanallah. The walls are doing Subhanallah. The earth is doing Subhanallah. The sky is doing Subhanallah. Everything is doing Subhanallah. See, Allah is saying that, listen, and the goal is that man is the Khalifa, meaning that he will do Subhanallah better than every other creation. Now what does that mean? What is this Subhanallah? In Arabic, what does it mean in Arabic, I'll tell you, and then inshallah explain it to you. You see, Subhanallah, it obviously means to glorify, you know, to glorify things. There are two ways of saying it. You say, usabbeho. When I say usabbeho, it means I glorify Allah. Usabbehullah. I glorify Allah. But when you say Subhanallah, it's like adding really in there. I really glorify Allah. You see, when you say the word Subhan in that structure, it means I really, truly glorify you. You know, see, there's one way, for example, you know, like if someone helps you out, something they did for you, you say, you know, like, you know, they're Tuesday, they're two ways of saying thank you. You know, I mean, like he said, all right, you know, I got this work done for you, so I'm leaving, he says. So he said, all right, thanks a lot, man, go ahead. You know, that's one way of thanking someone. And another way is that, saying that, man, I truly, really thank you for helping me. You see the difference? Right? This is the thing, you know. One, we are saying to Allah, you know, usabbihu, that, you know, I glorify you. Yeah, you're great, you know. You know? But when you say subhanallah, it means, ya Allah, you are really glorified. I mean, you are really glorified. I really do this. Just add that really in there. When you say subhanallah. That's what it means. Now, let me explain that to you. You see, a mu'min is someone who has submitted to Allah. And the reason he submitted to Allah is because he has the ma'rifat of Allah. And because he has the ma'rifat of Allah, the relationship between him and Allah is that of love. Is that of love. I love Allah. Because he is worthy of being loved. I love Allah. Love is the height of religion when you love Allah. Right? Love is the height of religion when you love Allah. Now when you are in love, anything that you love, you will see that the only thing that you want is to be in front of your beloved. Whenever you see your beloved, the only thing that comes out of your mouth, because when you're really in love, and those who have been in love, they know this, right? And those who are in love, they experience this, that when you are with your beloved, and whatever it is you love, it could be a car, you know, I love a car, I love this car, you know, isn't that? You love this car and you love it because you really love it, whatever it is, that when you see the car, the only thing that comes out of your mouth is, wow. Right? It just, wow. Because when you are face to face with it, there is nothing else to say. Everything has been said to reach your beloved. Everything that has been said in the past is there so that you can reach your beloved. Once you see it, once you see that beauty, once you see that excellence, once you see that magnificence, then the only thing you can do is just be wowed by it. Being wowed by it. My friends, this is the closest meaning of what subhanallah means. It means that you are wowed by Allah. Yeah. That Allah, that you are just saying, wow. That's it. Wow. That's all you can say. Wow. That's it. That is this way of lovers. Everything else. That's why when you are in love, everything reminds you of that. And anything that reminds you of your beloved, you say, wow. Right? And that's why, you see, tasbih is what? Is that when you hear your beloved's name taking place in front of you, you're saying subhanallah, you're saying wow. There's nothing more to say now, just wow. That's all. That's all you want. Everything else becomes useless. You see, we are short-selling our love. If we know that beauty, that perfection, that magnificence that Allah has in store for us. You see, that's why Allah, maybe the concept of Allah might be vague. He left an imam who is tangible with his attributes. So that when we recognize the beauty of the imam, then the goal of him reappearing is not to establish justice. That's going to happen. That's Allah's promise that has to be fulfilled. But what does it mean to us? After the justice is established, now to us what it means is that that person, that object of love, that perfection we were looking for has finally come before us. Now we can be wowed by Him and say, Subhanallah. That is what it means. And when we go to heaven, the same thing. Those who are in heaven, they won't be pleased with the hoor and all these things. The hoor will come and say, alright, listen, I have a much more greater thing to do, and that is to just witness Allah's beauty and say, Subhanallah. That, my friend, is the goal of a lover, a mu'min. That is where we want to reach. And when we see the Imam of the time, who won't want to see him? Who won't want to see him? You know, there's certain things, you know, that, you know, and you know, all of you have watched the movie of Prophet Yusuf, and that is an example. That's why he's called, our Imam is called Yusuf al-Zahra. These are that, you know, Yusuf was such that everyone who looks at him was falling in love with him. They would just fall in love with him. Yusuf was such that you can't help it but to be enamored by him. Why? And we are told by our Imams that in Jannat, and this is, you know, when all the awliya will be together, and all the Imams and the Anbiya will be together, the Imam of our time, amongst all of them, will be like a peacock amongst birds. Would be like that. They will all be looking at him and enamored by him. This is, my friends, this is, he is that being who brings coolness to the hearts of believers. This is the Imam that you're waiting for. This is the Imam that you're waiting for. How can you not wait to see him? You know, and it's only because we don't know his beauty, that's why we are enamored by the beauty of useless things. We are wowed by useless things. You see a beautiful car, you say, wow. You see this, you say, wow. If you know the Imam, then you will never be wowed by these things. You will never be wowed by these things. This is why everyone wanted to see Imam Mahdi. Everyone. You know, it is said that the Prophet, he came to the house of Fatima. Came to the house of Fatima. And saw that Fatima was doing work and she was tired. And she said, and he said, and see this, my friends, Fatima, let me give you some news. Let me give you some news that is going to brighten your day and will remove every sort of hardship and affliction from your heart. Let me give you some news. Let me give you this that is going to take every worries out of your heart and will never let any worries come back into your heart. And she said, tell me, Father, what is it? He said, Abshirikri. He says, I congratulate you, فَإِنَّكَ مَهْدِي مِنْ وُلْدِكَ, because Mahdi is from your children. You know, Mahdi is from your children. That is enough for every worry to go away from your heart. If you know that. And you know, really, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, he was that being. Right? He was that being, that a being like Fatima used to make tawaf of him. Fatima, she suffered because of him. She had her ribs broken because of him. She went through hardships because of him. Imagine who Imam Ali is. What is Imam Ali that a person like her is sacrificing for him? She's sacrificing for him, and she is in love with him in such a way that she's ready to give herself and burn herself for him. That's the love she has for him. That is Ali, the object of Fatima's love, and that Ali beats himself on the chest like this. Right? Gives a sigh of relief and says, ah, ah. Gives a sigh of relief and says, how I wish I could see my son Mahdi. How I wish I could see my son Mahdi. You know, this is Imam Mahdi, that the Imams are looking after him. They want to see him. And here we are. We are looking at other things and being wowed, but we are not waiting and being wowed by the one who truly is beautiful. Who's truly beautiful, we are just staying away from him. Friends, once we have that recognition, this, when the goal of Islam is so high, when the goal of Islam is so high, when we set it so high, then you see these things are meaningless. These little things that are there. And then you see how Allah will bless us. Once we know how to treat the Imam of the time. Once we know how to treat him. Friends, you know, loving him is not a great thing. You haven't done anything great by loving him. You know, because of the fact that he's deserving of more than that. You know, serving of more than that. You know, you sacrifice for Allah, it's not anything worth it. You haven't done much. You haven't done anything. He's worth much more than that. Allah deserves much more than that from us. And here we are, sacrificed a little bit of time, and we want to say to Allah that, Allah, we did this for you. Right? That we did this for you. I worked this much for you. Yeah? I mean, this is our view of Allah, you know. If we truly knew who Allah is, then we would know that no matter what we do, we will always say He's deserving more than this. My friends, a child will never understand. You know, a child will never understand the desire of a mother to hug him. Yeah. The desire that a mother has to hold her son, her child, to her bosom, a child will never understand that emotion. You know, you see children like, oh, come on, mother, you're like this. You see that. But you see that a mother wants to hold this child next to her. The child will never understand that. And Imam Mahdi had said that my relationship to you is like a mother to her child. Can you see that? We will never understand the fact that he wants to be with us more than we want to be with him. We will never understand that fact. It is beyond us to understand that how he will. That's why he's telling us all the time, pray for my reappearance. Pray for my reappearance. Make dua for me so that I can come back. You know, because this is that emotion. He deserves to be loved. And that is why, that for us, as we are heading towards the month of Ramadan, make this a month that we take advantage of. A few things I will, you know, just 5 minutes. Just to get you ready for the month of Ramadan. As I said, you know that we look at things in the lowest possible manner. Lowest possible manner. The Prophet of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Whenever the month of Ramadan used to come, he told the Muslims to welcome the month of Ramadan. Right? Now the only thing to be understood is what does welcome means. You know, when you have a guest who's coming to your house and you know he's coming, so obviously you prepare for him. You get your house ready, you get yourself ready, you get all the things ready, all the plans ready to entertain him, to feed him, to do whatever it is that you're going to do together. You get yourself ready. You get yourself ready in things in your house. You get yourself ready mentally. You get yourself ready. Right? And hence when he comes, you are able to do the things that you planned with him. But what if your guest comes unannounced? He just knocks up at your door, surprises you and said, "Hey, I'm going to stay here for a week." Then in this case, you don't welcome him, you just deal with him. Just deal with him. You don't welcome him, just deal with him. Okay, since you're here, I'm going to kick you out, so might as well come in. Right? Might as well come in, you know? Do this. For most Muslims, Ramadan is something that they have to deal with. Ramadan is something they just have to deal with. They don't welcome it. They don't get ready for it. Just say, okay, it's here. Let's deal with it. Just fast. You know? And they think that they are doing a ahsan, a favor on Allah that, you know, they're doing this much. Right? Prophet said, welcome the month of Ramadan. Get yourself ready. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is different than the fasting in any other month, in any other day. In all the other times, fasting means, you know, fasting of the stomach. Right? Don't drink, don't eat. You know, and the other things that are haram. Right? But in the month of Ramadan, it's not just that. Fasting also has another meaning. You know, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam was asked, about fasting in the month of Ramadan. So he said, fasting is more than just not eating and not drinking. Fasting means that you make your eyes fast, you make your tongue fast, you make your ears fast, you make every part of your body fast. You see, this is what fasting is. So, if you want to fast in the month of Ramadan, not just your stomach is fasting, but your eyes are also fasting. Your ears are also fasting. Your tongue is also fasting. What does this mean? Well, what it means is this, right? If you look at your eyes, if you see just a little bit, just take some of your very precious time out to see what your eyes do. Right? Your eyes roam around on their own will, and when you tell them to do something, they don't listen. You know, your eyes are like a troubled child, a brat who doesn't listen. Right? He does what he wants, he doesn't do what his parents want. Right? When they tell him to do something, he's like, "Listen, I don't have time for that." Right? And he does what he wants. So this is like your eyes, an untamed wild animal. They're doing their own thing, they're not listening to you. If you look at it, your eyes are not in control of you. They just look around and later on we regret what we saw. They make you see things that you don't want to see. Your tongue is the same thing. It's an untamed animal. It does what it says what it wants. Then later on regrets, "Oh, you know what? I should have said that." Your ears listen to all kinds of crap. And then you see that you tell your ears not to listen to it, but they can't help it. You know, they have their own mind. They just listen. Right? It's just like that. So now what happens? You, in the month of Ramadan, fasting means learn to control your eyes. Tell them what to do and make sure they do what you ask them to do. See what you ask them to see, nothing else. But you tell your eyes. Get a control of your kids. These are your kids. Your eyes and your tongue and your ears. Get a control of them and tell them that, listen, you are not going to see this. And then see how hard your eyes fight against you. Right? Fight with your tongue, fight with your ears and your eyes and every part of your body. Right? And this is what fasting is in the month of Ramadan. This is what it means. And when you do that, then you will see the result of fasting in yourself. The result of fasting is taqwa. Allah says He prescribed fasting for you so you can become pious. That is the result of fasting. You want to get the result of fasting, then this is what you need to do in the month of Ramadan. Not just stop eating and drinking. That's what you do in Rajab and Shaaban. Now it's a whole different level. This is the major leagues now. Right? The major leagues, you know. And they say, you know, the difference between, you know, like, major leagues and, you know, like minor, you know, the smaller leagues that are there, you see, in the major leagues, those who know baseball, in the major league, the slider slides more and the curveball curves more. Right? And you need to know how to play it. Right? The same thing is when you come in the month of Ramadan. Now it's a whole different challenge. You know, there the challenge was stopping eating and drinking while everyone else is eating and drinking. Now when everyone else is eating and drinking, have stopped eating and drinking, so now the challenge has been raised. See, now the challenge has been raised. Now you have to do more than that in order to gain the benefits of Ramadan. In order to gain that. And this is what you should be working on in the month of Ramadan. I won't be there with you, but inshallah we have invited other ulama who will be here. And you take advantage of them and you take advantage of the time that you will be together for 1 month. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. With the wisdom to understand your guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.